Morning, Evangel. It's a great day. And I'm really impressed that you're all here. Is there anyone here that wants to confess you meant to come for the first service, but you forgot there was a time change? Anyone want to confess it? Yeah, there's one at the back. Props to you. Way to make it out. I'm glad you made it to the second service. That's good. I gave props to those that came to the first service because it was a short night and they made it out anyway. And so it's good that you're here. This is normally the moment on a Sunday morning when I go, pull out your smartphone and your tablet and open up the Evangel app and everything is there that you need to see, and I'm not telling you to do that today, okay? You can pull out your smartphone if you want to, or your tablet, or your pen if you want to take notes, but we don't have the stuff on the app today that we normally have, and we have minimal stuff on the screens, and you know why? Because every now and then somebody deserves a vacation, right? And the person that does it went on vacation last week, so I figure we can do this old school. Can we do this old school? Old school means there's still lights and still a microphone and still a thing on the screen, so it's not that old, okay? So turn to the person beside you and go, we can do this. We can do this. Even if it's not all on the screen, we can do this, okay? All right. So we're doing this series, and it's going to end next week, and then we'll go back to our other series, and we introduce it, and we said we're going to talk about this topic that impacts all of us, and it impacts our lives every day, several times a day, and, you know, businesses rise and fall, and blah, 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 all of this. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and we're not supposed to talk about it. And we said the topic was going to be money, right? And so we've been talking about that for a couple weeks. We're going to talk about it today, a little bit next week, and then we're going back to our real world, real life, real God series. And but what we're doing is we're calling it this series, putting our money where our faith is. And it's not, you know, just some slogan that's in order to rip you off or sound all slick and all that. We don't do that here. We just, that's gross. But it's talking about we have a faith here. And people follow all kinds of different faiths around the world. So some people follow the Hindu faith. Some people follow the Islamic faith. We follow the Christian faith. And our Christian faith says that our money is part of our faith. And how we handle finances is part of our faith. And so we're putting our money where our faith is. Now, somebody said to us, well, you did this last year, Patty. You talked about money a year ago. Why are you talking about it again? Okay, number one, good news, because some of you weren't here a year ago. Some of you have become followers of Jesus in the last year, or you've just moved here and you're new here, and so we're letting you know. How many think it's good that we have new people that weren't here last year? Yeah, that's good. And so we're doing it, we're repeating it for that, but also because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but the world sends you messages, the rest of the world sends you messages about money all the time, not just once a year, all the time, and it's relentless. And if we don't pay attention to it and we don't stop every now and then and examine our own hearts, we're not going to realize that our faith is going to start getting eroded away, and how we handle finances is going to start getting eroded away, and we don't want that to happen. And so every now and then we pause and we go, God, am I still on track with you? Am I still on track? Are my finances reflecting what I say that my faith is? And so we're doing this. And so somebody said to me, oh, Patty, now really, you know, just you could tell me, are you doing this because the church needs money? I know that's what you're asking behind the scenes. Okay, you ready? Here's the answer. No and yes. Okay? So no, I'm not doing a series because, oh my gosh, we're in a crisis and we're, you know, oh, it's all awful. We don't do that. We plan our stuff ahead of time. Our Sunday morning series are planned usually at least 6 months in advance. And we do that so that we can balance out scripture and make sure that we're getting balanced teaching from all different kinds, about all different kinds of parts of our lives from scripture, so that I can't just accidentally get on a hobby horse and continually talk about my favorite topic. Okay? So no, that's not why we're doing this series. But also, yes, okay? I presume that I'm permitted to say out loud here that this church, this community of faith, is our home. And we say to you, welcome home. And we say to each other, welcome home. And for each of us that's here, for as long as we're here, this is our home. We're welcome to welcome others home. And just like, hopefully, in your home, sometimes you have conversations about spending and money and where it's going to come from and all of that. We do the same thing here. And so together, this church, can I just tell you, we do a lot of good. We bring a lot of good to our world, a lot of good to Montreal. And there's no outside government, department. There's no legacy fund or anything that gives us funds. What each of us gives together is what we have together to work with. That's how that works. And so every now and then we talk about money. And so it's absolutely a critical part of our faith together as a church and individually as followers of Jesus. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your money is, putting your money where our faith is. And if our faith doesn't impact our finances, then we've got some growing to do. Let's hit that video.
Morning, Evangel. My name is Susan Gachi. I'm part of the leadership team at Evangel. Tithing is a very important aspect of our lives. Here at Evangel, I've been tithing for almost 5 years now, but prior to that, I was tithing at my local church. Tithing is one aspect that God tells us that we can test him, and through this he will show his abundance in our lives. In my own life as a young Christian, I really struggled with this part, but over the years I learned that it's only through tithing that you're able to be sure that everything is met, because this is the only way that we can test God. I am part of a community that puts faith, where I put my money where my faith is. Thank you so much.
That's Susie Abuliangachi, and she's part of our lead team, part of the leadership of this church. And we've been showing you videos all along the way so that you could see that our leadership, our staff, and our lead team, we give. We don't preach what we don't walk out. And so we want you to know who we are and that each of us gives. And so you're going to see a few of those videos today. We're going to go through. We want to talk about sacrificial giving today, okay? And we're going to have two scriptures and two stories, okay? So hold up your left hand with two like this. Two scriptures, other hand, two stories. So you can count it off, even though it's not on the screens, you can know where we're at in this whole thing. We're going to talk about sacrificial giving. And sacrificial giving is something that is all the way through Scripture. You're going to see that concept from beginning to end, not because God wants to hurt us or wants to cause us pain, but because our faith calls for everything. Our faith calls for our whole lives. Our faith is not something that we take buffet style, I'll have a little of this, and I don't want that. And I'll have, a lot of this. I like the joy and the peace. I'll take a lot of that. Not much on the sacrifice. I don't like sacrifice. That's not how we live our faith. Our faith is all in, nothing held back. It's our whole lives, and that's how we do it. We also don't live our faith just in the extras or in the leftovers. Like, well, I've got extra time this week, so I think I'll take some time for God. Or I think I've got some extra resources this week, so maybe I'll give the leftovers. Or maybe I'll give what's not going to cost me anything. We don't do that. Our faith is not in the extras. Our faith is integrated through our whole lives. It's an all-in, holding nothing back faith. And sometimes that means sacrifice. Sometimes that means giving something up that I want because everything that I am and everything that I have belongs to God. So the idea of sacrifice is found all the way through Scripture. We're going to look at two scriptures today. The first one is in the Old Testament, and it's when King David is king over Israel, one of the best king that Israel ever had. But he wasn't perfect. And there's a whole story. We don't have time to dive into it today. But there's a story of where he messes up. And he gets into trouble and he sins. And his sin ends up having consequences for the whole nation. Because how many know that when we mess up, it usually doesn't impact just ourselves? That's gross. And so that's what's happened with King David. And so he's praying and he realizes that he's sinned and he realizes that he's hurt other people and he owns what he's done and he repents. And God says to him that he needs to offer a sacrifice. And he says to him he needs to offer a sacrifice on land, on some land that King David himself doesn't even own at this point. You with me so far? Okay, so here we go. So he goes to talk to the owner of the land and talk to him about whether he can buy this land so he can offer a sacrifice to God. So it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. This is the first scripture. The Lord's angel told the prophet Gad to tell David that he must go to Araunah's threshing place and build an altar in honor of the Lord. So David followed the Lord's instructions. And Araunah and his four sons were threshing wheat at the time. David arrived, and when Araunah saw him, he stopped his work and bowed down because it's King David. He's the king, right? David said, "Would you sell me your threshing place so I can build an altar on it to the Lord?" "Well, I'm willing to pay whatever you say it's worth," he said. Araunah answered, "Just take it, Your Majesty." and do whatever you want with it. I'll even give you the oxen for the sacrifice. I'll give you the wheat for the grain sacrifice. And you can use the threshing boards for the fire. Just tear them up. It's all yours. Now, a lot of us would stop that story there with great joy. What? That's so exciting. Look what happened. I stepped out in faith. God asked me to give a sacrifice. And I stepped out in obedience for that whole thing. And now it's not even going to cost me anything. Because buddy over here is giving me everything for it so that I don't have to actually sacrifice anything. Isn't that great? The Lord is good. Amen. Right? A lot of us would stop that story at that place because now I didn't have to give a sacrifice. And that's the problem. Because God had specifically said to David that he wanted a sacrifice. David replied, verse 24, "No, don't give it to me. I want to pay you what it's worth. I can't just take something from you and then offer the Lord a sacrifice that cost me nothing." So David paid Arana 600 gold coins for his threshing place, and David built an altar and offered sacrifices to please the Lord and sacrifices to ask his blessing. And David prayed, and the Lord answered him by sending fire down on the altar. Isn't that a powerful statement? I will not give God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. I won't do that. I will not give God something that doesn't cost me, because it was going to cost somebody, right? It wasn't free. It was going to cost Arana. He was the one that was going to end up giving it. And David was determined and said, no, you're not the one that's doing this. I'm the one that's paying the cost. I'm the one that's been called to give, and so I'm the one that's going to give. I'm going to give to God. It's my sacrifice to make. I will not give God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. And by the way, the site that he bought then, paid 600 gold pieces for it, the site that he bought and that he offered a sacrifice to God on, did you know that that site later became the foundation and the site for the very first temple that was built to God for the nation of Israel? That one-time sacrifice that King David made became a foundation, as part of the spiritual foundation for generations, for the whole nation, as they followed God. His sacrifice was about something bigger than himself. Sacrificial giving for something that's bigger than ourselves is part of our faith.
Hi, Evangel. We are part of Evangel staff, and this is Nancy, and she manages operations for finances and human resources.
And this is Jasmine, and she manages operations for facilities and rentals.
And I've been giving to Evangel for about 3 to 4 years financially, and I do so because I believe that the Bible tells us to give to our home church, and also because I believe in what Evangel is doing in our community as well as globally, and it is an honor for me to be a part of that.
I've been giving to Evangel for about 2 years, and I give because I too believe in the biblical principle of giving, and because it gives me the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of something that's bigger than myself.
We are part of this community of faith, and we put our money where our faith is.
That's Nancy and Jasmine. They're our operations directors. They're part of our staff, and they didn't want to do a video by themselves, so they asked if they could do it together. It's pretty good, right? Pretty good. So listen, here we are now, left hand, two fingers, we're on second scripture now. Hold it up. Okay, there you go. Second scripture, sacrificial giving, Jesus talked about it too. Actually, Jesus talked about sacrificial living. He talked about our whole lives being a sacrifice. And so in Matthew chapter 16, there's this story, and it's right after the disciples have just figured out who Jesus is. Some of you have heard that story. You've heard of Jesus looking at them going, "So, you know, who do people think I am?" And they were like, "Well, some think you're this guy and some think you're that guy." And then Jesus goes, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And they said, "You're the Messiah. You're God." So the disciples have just figured out that Jesus is the Messiah. They've just figured out that he's God. He's the Son of God. And from that point on, it says in Matthew 16, Jesus started talking very plainly to them. He didn't speak in parables or mysteries anymore, but he started telling them really plainly, "Listen, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be a sacrifice. I'm going to die. This is what's going to happen to me, and it's going to happen willingly." And one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, he didn't like that. He didn't like that Jesus was talking about suffering and sacrifice and dying. He didn't like it. You know, it's kind of negative talk, and he didn't really like the negativity. So Peter decides he's going to pull Jesus to one side, because if you're going to, you know, reprimand God, you should do it privately. So Peter pulls Jesus to one side and goes, listen, you know, I know you're the Messiah and everything, Son of God, all due respect, all that stuff. But he starts to reprimand him and say, you know, you need to not talk about that. And that's not going to happen. You shouldn't be talking about that negative stuff. You shouldn't be talking about suffering and sacrifice, because that's not going to happen. And Jesus just rounds on him and he goes, Peter, get away from me, Satan. How many are glad Jesus has never said that to you? Right? Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view. A human point of view only sees the present and the immediate surroundings. And a human point of view tends towards me first, my happiness, my comfort, what matters to me. And a human point of view tends towards a faith that immediately fixes everything that I want fixed, everything for me. And meanwhile, Jesus had been teaching them all this time about a different kind of faith. Jesus had been teaching them about a self-sacrificing faith, the kind of faith that forgives enemies even when they don't deserve it. Jesus had been talking about the kind of faith that puts others first, that serves others and cares about their comfort and their good and what's good for them. Jesus was talking about the kind of faith that talks about something that's much, much bigger than ourselves. Jesus was talking about the kind of faith that talks about God and God's work in the world and God's kingdom and joining in with what God is doing, partnering in with that and watching what God does with all of that, no matter what the cost is. God's point of view is a global point of view. It's an eternal point of view. It's an outside ourselves point of view, not just about me and my life. And God's point of view is about recognizing that everything I have and everything that I am is given to me by God, and it's given to me so that I can give it back and so that it can be used for His purposes and for His work and for His glory, so that people can meet Jesus. Yes. And the side benefit is that when we do that and we give all of ourselves to God, we get amazed at what He does. And we get amazed at what He does through us and in us. And our faith becomes stronger and our faith becomes deeper as we give ourselves for a faith that is much, much bigger than ourselves. So Jesus turns to His disciples in the middle of this conversation. He turns to His disciples, and you can almost hear the urgency in His voice, because He wants them to understand what He's calling them to. He wants them to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He wants them to know what they're signing up for. And this is what He says in Matthew 16, verse 24. If any of you wants to be my followers. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? We're already here. No, listen. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Just let that land. And you must take up your cross and follow me. And you know that when Jesus said, take up your cross, not one of them thought of a pretty little gold piece of jewelry hanging around the neck. Right? It was a give up your whole life. The cross is what I'm going to die on. If you want to be my follower, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, Jesus said, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Know what you're signing up for. To be a follower of Jesus is to give everything. Our whole lives, it's an all-in, hold nothing back, count the cost, everything in of our whole life to Jesus. Jesus called us to sacrificial living, including our finances. And He calls us to something that's bigger than ourselves.
Good morning, Evangel. My name is Nalendri Fernando. I have been attending Evangel for just over 7 years now, and I'm currently serving on Evangel's lead team. Tithing has been something that's a part of my life from probably the time I was born. When my parents became followers of Jesus Christ, they understood the importance of tithing, and they wanted to make sure that they pass it on to their kids. So whether it was birthday money, Christmas money, even just pocket change, every time I got it, my dad would say to me, "Hey, here you go, but make sure you give 10% to Jesus." And he would leave that up to me. He wouldn't do it for me. So as a child, I have to say that I did it because I knew that I had to do it, that my parents expected me to do it. But as I started working part-time while I was in school and even working full-time, that concept of tithing really became personal. It went from something I had to do to something I wanted to do as a cheerful giver. And I can tell you countless stories of how God has just provided for me in the area of finances as I kept him first by tithing. And I see firsthand, just sitting on the lead team and being involved with different ministries and church, I see how our tithes are being used to further the kingdom of God. And it's just beautiful. I'm not going to say it's always easy. There are moments where I get my paycheck and I think, oh man, I could use this for something else. Or I can buy this, I can buy that. But then I just remember the promises of God, a yes and amen. And as I keep God first, God is faithful. And so I am trying to put my money where my faith is. Thanks.
And that's Nalendri. Nalendri Fernando is on our lead team and part of the leadership of this church. She's also on our worship team, and you saw her this morning on the keyboard. She's one of our leaders, and we're really glad that she's here for us. So we've done two scriptures this morning about sacrificial giving, and now we got two stories. So this is your right hand. Hold your right hand up. Okay, we got two stories. Here comes story number one. Are you excited about it? Because it's exciting. It's about stories that are happening right now of sacrificial giving that's already happening. So turn the person beside you and go, oh, this is going to be exciting. Go ahead, tell them. It's going to be exciting. Okay? Here we go. Story number one. The title is Le Campus. It's our French congregation. Now, let me just explain it to you, okay? So several years before I got here, Evangel launched a project, and it was called Reimagine. And some of you were here for it, and some of you, this is the first time you've heard of it. But the project was to completely renovate this building so that it could be the beautiful space that you are sitting in now, with heating and air conditioning and new chairs and all the lighting and all the stuff that we needed. And can I just say that this moment, I am awfully thankful for a church and for leadership at that time that looked forward to the future and said, we're gonna make this church building something that works for our future. I am very, very grateful for that. And so this Reimagine project started, and it was going to be a big one because it meant we had to gut the whole building and renovate the whole thing. And so it was going to take a lot of money. And so what you might not know or what you might have forgotten is that part of that Reimagine project, even at that time, even though it was a massive project, you, Evangel, were determined it was not going to be just about yourselves. And so you said, we're going to fundraise in order to renovate this building and to make it modern and make it usable for today's purposes. But at the same time, we're not going to do it just for ourselves. So as you fundraised for this building, you made sure that a portion of what was raised went towards projects outside of yourselves. So you gave to build a Village of Hope in Zambia so that there are orphans today who are alive and who are doing well because of the money you gave to build that orphanage. You gave to rescue young women and girls out of sex trafficking in another part of the world. And so there are young women and there are girls today who are healthy and well because you gave to rescue them out of where they were being exploited even while you were renovating this building. And the third thing that you did, one of the other projects that you did, was to plant a French-speaking church in an unreached part of Montreal. And so Evangel planted a congregation, still part of us, but planted a congregation on the east side in Montreal and said it's going to be a French-speaking church and we're going to help fund it and we're going to make it go. That was weird, okay? So people have told me they thought that was weird. An English church in Quebec starting a French church, that's weird. Why would you do that? But it's what you did. And it was sacrificial. And it was huge. And it was much, much bigger. The whole thing was much bigger than this building. You decided you were going to give outside yourselves. So last week, I was at that French church. Last week, I was at Le Campus. It's still part of Evangel. It's no longer on the east side. It's right here in the lighthouse. And they meet there every Sunday morning. And can I just tell you, there are usually about 45 people there, and they are so on fire. They're so on fire for God. They're so sold out for God. They are so passionate about Jesus and passionate about helping French-speaking people meet Jesus in Montreal. They're still there. Isn't that exciting? That's awesome. That's not the story. Okay, so they just had, a month or two ago, they just had their fourth anniversary. And so they've been, and in the last year or two, they have been through the ringer. So let me explain what happened, and then I'll tell you what's happening now. So first of all, they had been on the east side in Mercier West. I'm just pointing randomly. That's east, right? So they're in the east side, Mercier West. And they poured all kinds of time and all kinds of effort into that neighborhood. They held festivals there. They held barbecues. They gave stuff away, Christmas parties, and helped people connect with Jesus in an area where there was no church. And then one day, they were renting space in a community center, and one day, somebody, we don't know who it was, but somebody in the community or somebody somewhere complained. And they said, a community center is not supposed to be rented to faith groups, and so we're complaining, and you better get them out of there or we're going to the media. And so about a year and a half ago, Le Campus had 3 days to get out. 3 days. Couldn't even have another Sunday service. Couldn't say goodbye to the community. Just clear your stuff and get out. It didn't matter that we had a contract. None of that mattered. It was over. And so they came back home to Evangel. They came back to the lighthouse right over there. They meet there every Sunday morning in order to regroup and to figure out what would come next. Now, can I just pause at this moment and tell you, not every baby congregation would survive something like that. To be totally relocated to another part of the city is a difficult thing on a congregation and a hard thing for them to walk through. And then several months later, after that happened, they were regrouping and coming back together. And how many know change happens whether we like it or not, right? And so Pastor Normand Charlebois, he felt the call of God. And so he said, I got to go. I've been called. I got to go lead. And he went to pastor another church in Joliet, Quebec, which is fine. It's great. Life changes whether we want it to or not. But now this little congregation had kind of been dislocated and relocated from their space. And now they've had a shift in leadership. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, I don't know if they're going to make it. I'm just being honest. God, are they going to make it? And so we spent the last 10 months, Pastor Rob and me and our lead team, they designated Gary Connors to help us. And the three of us met repeatedly over the last 10 months with the leadership of Le Campus. And we just started coming together and saying, what do we do next? Where are we at? This was a 3-year project. We're in year 4. God, what's next for this little baby church? What is it that you have planned? Where do we go from here? And we came together over and over again. We talked and we prayed and we cried and we laughed and we hugged each other and we wrote stuff down and then we went away and then we came back together and we did it again and we worked and we worked and we worked for 10 months trying to go, God, you got to show us and we want to come into unity about where this is all going. We asked our district office for help. We said, can you give us some input? Give us some wisdom. Can you be part of this process with us? And eventually, we were in the boardroom and we were all looking at each other across the board table in our offices, and we all took a deep breath and we looked at each other and this smile started to creep across all our faces because we could see where God was leading. We could see the next step that God had called us to. And it's risky and it's exciting and it's terrifying and it's wonderful and it's bigger than ourselves and it requires sacrifice. And so last Sunday, I got to go over to Le Campus. That's where I was instead of here. I got to be in Le Campus, and I got to tell them this whole story that I just told you. And I got to tell them, you know what, guys? You've grown up. And I got to tell them that as of next October, either October 14th or 21st, we haven't decided the date yet. We're going to pick the best Sunday. But as of next October, they are going to launch out and they are going to become fully their own church. Not just a little baby of Evangel, but their own congregation with their own leadership and their own vision and their own call of God on their lives. And they're going to become a fully functioning church responsible for their own finances and for all of that stuff. And I got to tell them that Steve Jean-Baptiste, who has been part of their congregation since the very beginning and has been giving it leadership since Pastor Normand left, I got to tell them he got credentials with Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and we've all come together in unity, and he would be their new lead pastor, and they're going to launch as their own church. Does anybody else think that's exciting? Right? Right? And I'll tell you, I was totally overcome when I was in there in that service because I realized I get to be the pastor of this church, which is 102 years old, and this church has lost count, literally lost count of the number of churches that have been planted out of Evangel. And now we get to do it again. We get to do it again. And next October, there's going to be one more fantastic church in Montreal carrying the name of Jesus, and we get to work and worship alongside of them. Now, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for us, actually, at Evangel, because even though we currently pay the bills for the campus, and we have been because it's one of our ministries, and they were a little baby, and we're looking after them, we're going to keep on paying those bills, but usually we also receive their offerings, and that helps to pay some of those bills, and that's no longer going to be true. So let me tell you the step-by-step process that's going to happen, and then we'll get on to story number two. But the step-by-step process is, it's which we're the mother church, that's us, okay? And then they're the daughter church. Let's use that analogy. And so this is going to be one of those processes where the mother church makes a little bit extra sacrifice so that the daughter church can start off well and launch well next fall. So practically speaking, that means that starting right now, actually last Sunday, all of their offerings that they receive are going to be set aside and kept for them for their launch so that when they actually begin next fall, they will already have something to work with. But Evangel's still paying the bills until that time. We're still providing space. We're still providing custodial services. We're still handling all the bookkeeping. We're still providing the insurance. We're still doing the heating and air conditioning and the online support and all of that stuff until they launch. It's more detailed than that. If you want to know the details, come and ask me. But I won't worry about it all today. But that means we're still paying the bills with slightly less income. Okay? Slightly greater, same expenses, slightly less income. And so our lead team has decided to do this. And we've decided to do this from Evangel's own general fund because we can see that this is bigger than ourselves. And we can see that God is at work. And we can see that the kingdom of God is expanding through this. And we can see that people, French-speaking people, are going to find Jesus through this brand new church. And we're super excited that we get to be a part of it. So we've made the commitment. And we've decided we're going to sacrifice, and we're going to sacrifice a little bit as the mother church so that this little baby church can be founded and can be launched. And you go, well, how much is it actually going to cost us? Well, it's probably going to cost us about $23,000 between now and the fall in reduced income that we normally get, and we're still going to have the same expenses. So for about 7 months, we're going to need an extra $23,000 or so to come into our general fund. It's a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice so that people can meet Jesus. And it's going to come from Evangel's funds, which come from, are you ready? Everything that you and I give on Sunday morning. That's a story that's happening right now. It's bigger than ourselves, and we're proud of it. Okay? Turn to the person beside you and go, well, that was exciting. Tell them, that was exciting. Okay? Now, story number two. It's shorter, and it's even more exciting. You ready? Story number two. Last summer, a woman in our church, her name is Michelle, and she started an Alpha group in her own home. And Alpha is, you know, the basics of Christianity, and it's a way to invite people to become followers of Jesus. And she let us know, and she didn't ask anything from Evangel. She just said, it's going to be in my home. I'm going to lead it. I'm going to provide the food. I'm inviting some of my friends. But all of her friends are Chinese-speaking people. And they're people that have never heard about Jesus, have never heard about the gospel message, and she felt God was calling her to reach out to Chinese-speaking people and hold this Alpha group in her home. And so she did that, and can I tell you something? People started meeting Jesus for the first time. She just told me this morning, there's 7 of them now that have become followers of Jesus since last summer, right? Because of this Alpha group. So it's phenomenal. One of them's been baptized and is working with our kids group now and all of that. I mean, it's just amazing what God is doing. But here's the thing. This group of people doesn't speak English very easily. They're learning, but they're not all the way there yet, and some of you can identify with that. But their faith journey started because of Evangel. And they love Evangel, and they want to be part of Evangel. They want to come here. They want to be discipled here. But it's hard when you can't understand everything that's being said. And so we needed to find a way to help bridge that gap. So the suggestion was made to us, is there a way on Sunday mornings that maybe we could simultaneously translate services for this group of Chinese-speaking people? Can we do that through headsets? And we said, sure, great idea, but we don't have the equipment to do that. And all of a sudden, people stepped up. And people started stepping up, and they said, well, I can help contribute towards that, and I can help make that happen. And then other people stepped up and said, well, I can make sure that I can provide the translation services, and I can make sure that that happens. And then somebody else stepped up, and our staff went digging in closets and found old pieces of equipment and divider things so we could build our own isolation booth so we wouldn't have to buy one because it's stinking expensive. So we've just decided we're just going to build our own. And so the equipment has been paid for and ordered, and I found out between first and second service, it's already arrived. It's already here. Yeah, we're not using it yet because we haven't got it set up yet, but it just came on Friday. And people, the reason that it's here and the reason we're doing that is because people here at Evangel are holding nothing back. People here at Evangel are seeing this is a way to join in with what God's already doing. They're seeing the census data that tells us there are more Chinese-speaking people moving into Montreal than any other ethnicity in the world right now, and we need to give everything we've got so that they can hear about Jesus. It's bigger than ourselves. It's bigger than ourselves. It's not about us. It's about God and the work that He is doing. And we are determined to give and to do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter what the cost is, so that people can meet Jesus. It's what we do, right? Turn the person beside you and go, it's what we do. It's what we do. And so somebody looks at me and goes, Patty, so really? Are you doing this series because the church needs money? No. God's on the throne. God's got this. It's much bigger than that. I'm doing this series because I know, and Jeff and I know together personally, we know what it is to live giving everything to God. We know what it is to tithe and to give generously and sacrificially, and we see what God does through that. And I know it's biblical, and I know it's part of our faith, and I don't want you to miss out on that. So I do this series because of that. But it's even bigger than that, because here's the thing. I only know how to pastor a church. I only know how to lead a church that thinks much bigger than itself. A church that knows how to push the boundaries, and a church that knows how to look and go, that's where God's at work. Let's jump in. Let's join in and partner with what God's doing in it. I only know how to lead a church that is so sold out for God that we will do anything and give everything so that Chinese-speaking people who've never heard of Jesus can have a chance to meet Him. So that French-speaking people who've only heard about church in a negative and a dark way can find out that there's a God that actually really loves them. I only know how to lead a church that is so sold out for God that we will do anything. We'll give everything so that university and college students can come from all around the world, because they do, right here to go to McGill or to go to Concordia, and they can come from all around the world and we can help them find Jesus, and then they graduate and they go back out all over the world and they change the world and they carry Jesus with them. I only know how to lead a church that is so sold out for God that we will do anything. And we will give everything so that people who are vulnerable, people who are in the margins, people who are in poverty, people who struggle with addictions or people who struggle with mental illness or newcomers to Canada who are just trying to figure out what on earth this white stuff is on the ground, whatever, a church that knows how to reach out to those people so that they can not only meet Jesus, but they can find a place of belonging. They can find safety, they can find love, and if they need it, they can find help, and they can find healing. I only know how to pastor a church like that. I only know how to pastor a church that is so sold out for God that we'll do anything, and we will give everything for the thousands of people that are moving into this neighborhood. I don't know if you've noticed, there are condos sprouting up faster than grass sprouts on the ground in the spring. You know, there are six coming over there, one right here, one beside the lighthouse, a few more on René Lévesque. When this is all done, this whole neighborhood is going to be radically changed. It's a new, brand new neighborhood growing up in a historic part of the city, in the heart of the city, and we're at the center of it. Go outside when we finish today and look around and imagine how many people living in condos, when it's all done, will look out their windows and see either this building or the lighthouse. Thousands of people. We are in a historic moment in this neighborhood, and I believe that this is a church that will do anything and will give everything to reveal Jesus to the thousands of people that are moving in right here on this block. Does that sound like something we can do? So Romans chapter 12, Paul said, "So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies, your entire lives to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God." So here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the same way we did a few weeks ago. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. And I'm going to ask the rest of you if you would bow your heads for just a moment. And you go, "Patty, really, have you just been working towards an offering?" No. Giving is part of our worship. And we're tying together our giving with our worship, as we do sometimes in this church. And so we change up the order just to make it a little bit more meaningful. We're going to end this service today the same we did a few weeks ago, by worshiping in song and by giving. And so I want you to take a moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and examine your own heart. Let God examine your own heart. And as we do this and we open up our hearts and our lives to God, for some of us it's terrifying. For some of us we're going, "I've already given everything." Great. Great. Some of us, we're going to dedicate our lives to God again. Because we do that from time to time. You know, as being a follower of Jesus, every now and then we just stop. And God says to us, "Are you sure you're all in? Holding nothing back?" You know what? Just last Saturday morning, I was in Langley, BC, and I had gotten in just the night before, and I was in this hotel room, and I was going to be speaking at a conference just for the day on Saturday. And so I was up early in the morning all by myself in this hotel room. I was just praying and preparing and writing stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, it was just one of those moments when the unmistakable presence of God filled the room. And there I am in this Best Western hotel room, and God's there. God's there. And all I hear in my mind over and over again from God was this voice that said, "Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back, Patty. Give everything." And then I went and I prayed and I responded, and then I went to the conference, and in the first service, I'm supposed to be speaking, I'm supposed to have it all together, and the worship time just undid me, and I'm on my knees at the front, and I'm just crying and weeping because I'm hearing God say over and over again, "Hold nothing back, Patty. All in." And I cried out to God. I said again, "God, I'm yours, all of me. I didn't think I was holding anything back, and I'm not. But God, every single piece of me, every part of me, all that you've given me, it's yours. And I give it to you again. And I dedicate myself to you again, and I hold nothing back, God. Use me. Work through me. Further your kingdom through me. I'm all in." This church is all in. We've been all in for 102 years. It's the only way we know. And so I'm asking you to take a moment this morning and to let God speak to you. And then I'm asking you to worship with us, and to do that through music, and to do that through giving, and to give this morning in response to whatever God says to you. And all the ways of giving are on the screen. If you want to see, you could see that. I know some of you give in different ways, so nobody's watching, nobody's judging, all of that kind of stuff. But more than all of that, I'm inviting you to sacrificially give your life again to something that's much bigger than you, to a God who loves you, to a God who sacrificed everything for you. And I'm inviting you to give all that you have for his purpose and his work and his honor. So God, at this moment, we stop and we pause and we invite you to speak to us. And God, for those of us that you are tugging on our hearts, and you're calling us to rededicate our lives, whatever that means, at this moment, we choose to respond and say, I'm all in, God. Holding nothing back. I belong to you. God, make us a church that is radically, ridiculously, extravagantly generous and sold out, doing anything so that people can meet Jesus. And help me, each one of us, to find our place in it. In Jesus' name. Ushers, you can go ahead and take the offering this morning. Our worship team is going to lead us in worship. Once the bag goes by you, would you just stand and sing with us, and then we'll come back together and close in prayer.